Question number one. Share what you think is the link between God's word and the fear of God in a believer's life. The link is very strong because without God's word, the fear of God could not be properly practiced and obeyed. Because how do you know who is the God that you are fearing? There are a lot of people who fear many gods of their own concoction. That is why you find so many different religions all over the world, and many of these religions, if not all of them, are ruled by fear. Their followers are very fearful of bad things, ill omen occurring in their lives. And therefore, because of this superstition, they fear the God of their own design. But with the Bible helping us to know who this God is, then the fear of God is a blessing, an encouragement, and it will bring salvation. It is the starting point of salvation, according to Proverbs 1:7. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, knowledge of God. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools are those who know God's word. They come to church, but they do not obey God's word, especially those portions of God's word that rebuke them, admonish them, that tell them that they are wrong. That's the meaning of the word instruction, admonishment. Wisdom is the application of knowledge, and they refuse because of their self-righteousness. That's why the link between God's word and the fear of God is and must be very strong. Number two, what is your definition of backsliding? The Christian definition of backsliding is a believer truly born again, and now he has become carnal. He is enjoying the world's riches. The seductive power of the world has captured his heart, and he has stopped attending church, stopped reading the Bible, stopped everything Christian-like in his life that he once upon a time used to be very involved in. Now, that is the Christian definition of backsliding, a truly born-again believer who has turned his back on Christ for a season of time and now enjoying the world's benefit. If that is your definition, you must understand that is not the Bible's definition. The word backsliding is found only in the Old Testament, and you will realize that it is someone who turned his back on Jehovah, bowing down to idolatry. It is the description of someone who is not born again, who has turned apostate, in other words. It's a very strong word to describe Israel who bowed down to idols. And so God described Israel as backsliding Israel, Jeremiah 3:6. That is the biblical definition. Sometimes we know of parents to soothe their own conscience, perhaps, to comfort their own heart, that their children who have been baptized as infants appear to be very faithful in their student days. But now that they have become young men and young women, they have allowed the world to capture their heart, and they have no longer interested in anything Christian. And so these parents may be in denial, do not want to admit the fact that their children very likely are not born again in the first place. And so they comfort themselves by telling everyone and themselves that their children are backsliders. They are truly born again. It's just that right now they have strayed away and they are loving the world. But that term, backsliding, when it is used from a Christian context, please understand the clear difference between the biblical context and the church context. If that is what you think your son, your daughter is, then according to Hebrews chapter 12, if they are truly born again, God will chastise them. Then why is it that God has not chastised them? And the chastisement of God, as you know, will begin from very mild to very painful. He will send maybe you, the parent, the mom, the dad, to scold them. Stop this nonsense of carnality, sinful behavior, of loving the world, and return to the Lord and come back to the church. They refuse. If they are grown men and grown women, there's absolutely nothing mom and dad could do after that. Then you just have to sit back and wait and watch God taking action in their life. God promised, right? Hebrews 12, if you are my son, I will chastise you. And during the period of chastisement, it will be painful. But at the end of it all, it will be worth it because you will return and repent and return to the Lord. But if nothing happens to you, it's because you are not God's child. That's why nothing happens to you. And so you have admonished, they refuse, so you watch. 1 year, nothing happened. 2 years, nothing happened. 3 years, 5 years, nothing happened. What's the conclusion? According to Hebrews 12, not God's child. So please realize and understand, we use the word backsliding very, very flippantly and too frequently and in the wrong biblical sense. Do you agree that every believer must backslide at least once in his Christian life? No. Backsliding is not something to be trifled with. That's why sometimes when you read the testimonies of Christians who claim in their testimony that they have become Christians at the age of 14, and then they backslided, and then the Lord was merciful when they are now 30 years old. The Lord brought them back unto himself. So 16 years of backsliding, they just brush it off by one simple sentence as if it is no big deal. Now that they are back to the Lord, they come back to church, they are doing this and doing that, all must be now well with their soul. But what about the past 16 years that you have hurt and stumbled so many people in your life who heard that you call yourself a Christian, but you live like an abject sinner? You have distorted the name of Jesus Christ for the past 16 years, and you just brush it off as if it is no big deal in your testimony. That, to me, is unconscionable. You should repent and ask God for forgiveness for the many lives that you have hurt and stumbled these past 16 years. And now that you say that you have repented and returned to the Lord, did you go back to every single one of them that you have hurt and stumbled these past 16 years and apologize and say that I am so sorry for what I have done by distorting the name of Christ in my relationship with all of you at work, in school, at home, wherever? They probably will not and did not, right? Because it's shameful. Pride is more than just you making right with God. You got to make right with the people that you hurt and stumble. Because from that point onwards, whenever they think of Christ, think of you and the Christ that they think, that they reject, is the false Christ that you have presented to them. You may be drinking, you may be smoking, you may be gambling, you may be swearing, and you call yourself a Christian. They think Christians do these kind of things because of you. So please, backsliding is never, never the norm. Look at the Apostle Paul's life. The moment we sin, we repent. A backsliding Christian, or in inverted commas, his sin, he doesn't repent. He enjoys his sin. He will go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in sin. How could that be? That's the Christian definition of backsliding, which is not the biblical definition of backsliding. Number three, which part of the Christian life, in your opinion, is more challenging, the beginning or the end of the Christian life? The end of the Christian life, in my opinion, is most challenging. In my early days as a Christian in FEBC, after I graduated, started ministry as a young preacher, I always thought that people like Reverend Toh, Dr. Toh, in the evening years, they do not need to earnestly contend for the faith anymore. They can just relax a bit because they have been fighting for such a long time since the beginning of the BP movement in Singapore. How wrong I realized I was. Reverend Toh was in his 80s, when his two assistant pastors kick him out of the church, giving him an alternative. You teach the Bible is perfect, you get out. You teach the Bible has mistakes, you remain and you enjoy the remaining years of your life in peace and comfort. That was what they offered him. And then Dr. Toh, right up to the evening years of his life, a church member sued him and took him to court. And he had to endure the pain and the humiliation of what transpired during the courtroom. For what purpose? Defending the perfect Bible. Right up to the very end. So when you are very close to the finishing line as a faithful Christian, bear in mind, the devil will love to see you stumble and fall, and you will drag a lot of people down with you when you stumble and fall. That's why the end of your Christian life, you have retired from this and that, but never, never let your guard down and retire from your holy witness that you have been holding on, fighting to keep for the past how many decades? Don't lose everything at the very end. Thank you very much. Yes.
Discussing, said that backsliding is not representative of true believer. So what?
No, I said backsliding as defined by the Bible. But when the Christian use it, you use it in that context. So I gave the example, if this person is really a believer and love the world, Hebrews 12 tells us that God will chastise that person. But if nothing happened to that person, the Hebrews 12 says the person is not a Christian. So if you understand the definition, that's why in the question, I put the definition of backsliding from the Christian perspective and the definition of backsliding from the biblical perspective. So when you ask the question with the word backsliding, do you ask it from the Christian perspective or the biblical perspective? Hmm. They turn to idolatry. They bow down to idols. And God called them backsliding Israel. Yes. That's apostasy. A Christian will not bow down to idols.
14 verse 4, where it says, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from
him. I will save them.
So, and then
that means you are not born again, but they're talking about the nation, not an individual. I will save them. See, just because they're backsliding doesn't mean you cannot be saved. He can still save you. That's why when parents talk about their backsliding children, for so many years, I would encourage the parents, please share the gospel with them. Instead of assuming that they are already Christian, just tell them to come back to church. So many parents will just simply tell their children, come back to church. When the real thing that they should tell them to do is believe in Christ. They can still be saved. Backsliding doesn't mean that you're condemned and you're not safe, you know. Impossible to be safe, you know. Please. It's how you approach and help them. Because that's exactly, I'm telling you from fact, you know. Because one parent refused to admit that the children are not born again. So she keep praying for the children to come back to church when she should have prayed for the children to be saved. That means the mother should tell the gospel instead of just telling them, come back to church, come back to church. When they are not yet, but she cannot accept the fact that they're not born again because she's frightened. I mean, it depends on how you use it. You cannot say don't use because it's in the Bible. But if you use it from a biblical standpoint, when you study the Bible, you come to the word backsliding, you're going to use it. It's just that we use it in our Christian context, and then because it is found in the Bible, we equate that as if it is the same. But it's not the same. Because when you look at the context in the Bible, used in the Bible, it refers to apostasy. Apostasy means someone who is not born again, you know. Wayward is the one that you find in Hebrews 12. And God says, I will chastise. That's his promise. Because I love you. That's correct. The bottom to, that's why God sent the Babylonians to destroy them. Jeremiah, Hosea, Hosea would be the Assyrians. Jeremiah would be the Babylonians, the Jews, Judah. And God destroyed them. God sent the Babylonians to clean away their idolatry. Because God basically sent Jeremiah to tell them, please get rid of idolatry on your own. If you don't, I'm going to send someone else to clean your mess. You refuse, so God kick you out. And God sent the Nebuchadnezzar to destroy all their places of idols. You ask yourself, the whole Old Testament, the primary sin of Israel was idolatry. Why is it that in the gospel, Jesus never rebuked a single Israelite of the sin of idolatry? You realize that? Never. Pride, Pharisaical legalism, but not idolatry. No, how come? Because when they were in exile in Babylon, they wake up, they see idols. Idolatry was everywhere in Babylon. And they got sick of idolatry. That's why when they return, the problem with Israel after they return, will never bow down to idols anymore. They learn it because of their 70 years in exile in Babylon. That's why during the gospel, Jesus never had to rebuke idolatry. That's why in Acts 15, when God said to the apostle Peter and Paul, when they had this problem of Gentile Christian must be circumcised. And so they said, no need to be circumcised, but for Gentile believers, they have to do four things. No fornication, because Gentile fornication is okay. See, fornication in Rome is not a crime, just like in Singapore. In Australia, it's also not a crime. And so Gentiles, they practice fornication, no big deal. And so for Gentile Christians, no fornication. For Gentile Christians, no food offered to idols, because they still bow down to idols, think it's okay to eat food offered to idols. No eating strangled animal and no drinking of blood. Why didn't they give it to the Jews? The Jews know it because they already know this in the Old Testament scripture. But the Gentile believers, this were commonly practiced in Rome. Now that you become a Christian, you've got to stop this. The idolatry was part and parcel. Eating food offered to idols is part of idolatry. That's why in the gospel, no need to rebuke the Jews concerning the sin of idolatry, even though the whole Old Testament always idol, right? For hundreds of years, you know, and suddenly it stopped. When Jesus Christ came, he never had to deal with idolatry in Israel, but a worse sin, pride. How can? That means I tell the mother, please, don't just simply tell your son, your daughter to come back to church. Share the gospel and tell them to be born again. You give them the wrong counsel, you now give them the impression that they're born again, which is worse, when they're actually not. So that's why they never come back to church. They have no interest. And she shared this with us, and they want us to pray the same way as she asked us to pray. I never did. I always pray for their salvation. Not just to come back to church, but come back to the Lord. Then they come back to the church for the right reason. So I'm not saying they cannot use. You use according to the context, but don't parallel it with the church usage as if it is one and the same. It is not. King David, he was wayward until he repented, yes. Because he tried to cover it up. For him, it's a short time. Because he sent Nathan to rebuke him. Right? He committed adultery. He tried to cover it up during those few months. And then God sent someone to scold him, and that was enough. He repented. That's it. But he still had to bear the consequence of the death of his baby that was conceived out of wedlock. Well, the Lord in Hebrews 12 tells us that he will chastise, but exactly how long? But you see, the longer it is, the more time you misrepresent Christ. Why would the Heavenly Father let it go on for a year, 1 year, 2 years? You keep hurting the name of Christ in the lives of everybody who come into contact with you, you know. You know how dangerous and how damaging that is? When the people experience the Christ that you present that is not according to Scripture, but one that is characterized by your transgression. Right? 1:4, 1:4. Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from him. Okay, the literal translation, huh? With his own ways, that is the word direct. Direct means a repeated way of life. Okay, it's not just the start. It's not just something that you do once in a blue moon. It is something that you keep doing over and over again, whereby you can see a clear path. All right, so the literal translation is, with his own ways, the backslider will be filled in his heart. But from above, a man is good. That means a person from heaven with his own way, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. That means someone who is from above, that is a good man from heaven. He will do what is right that will help him, all right? Because the word satisfied is added. But a backslider, a person who is a backslider in heart, shall be filled with his own ways, where he will do whatever is right in his own eyes. That is a big difference. A person who is good, that means only a Christian is good. He will do what is right, that will please what is in his heart according to what is good. In contrast to a person who will do what is right in his own eyes versus a person who will do what is right in God's eyes. That is the way that I will summarize it. The conjunction is and, correct, because the word vav can be but or and or even or also depending on the context. So this is contrasting an unbeliever versus a believer, yes. Okay? Look for parallelism, huh? Correct, it's not a word. This is sur. This is a suk, different one. That's why I use the Hebrew to look at it rather than just the English. This one describes someone who turned back, who moved away. Also in English, according to the lexicon, be backslide, depending on the stem that is used. And the stem that is used here is a participle. It describes the person who is someone who turned away. That's all. Turn away from the truth, depending on what he turned away from. But he will do what is right in his own eyes. That is the idea, that is with his own way. He will do what is right in his own eyes, which is basically a description of maybe the period of Judges. The Israelites. That was the common theme throughout 350 years of Judges. They did what was right in their own eyes. So you tell them the truth, they won't listen. They do what they think is right. There's another form of backsliding. But the emphasis is not so much on what they turn their back on, like the other Hebrew word, turn away from God and bow down to idol. This one perhaps is a description of the action of the person that he turns away. Correct. From the very beginning, yeah. That means they're not born again in the first place. Thank you very much. Yes, other quote. Hebrews 4:4-6, yes. Hebrew what? Hebrews 6:4-6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, and if they shall fall away, this is the word where they slip aside, fall away, to renew them again unto the repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. So this basically describes someone who was never born again in the first place. We have tasted everything Christian externally, but then turned his back on Christ. Someone who's not born again. Correct. Who come to church, who was baptized, experienced the Lord's Supper, fellowship with Christian, and then after that, he gave everything up, turned his back away. You can't, that's why. Correct. That's why the Apostle Paul says, work out your salvation from with fear and trembling and hold on to the very end. Your faith. Run the race and finish it. Don't run halfway. We are living in very, very perilous times. What do you mean by perilous? Because there are so many false gospels and the doctrine of easy believism is everywhere. When you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, did you count the cost? Did someone threaten you? No, we never count the cost because it costs us nothing. The first 300 years of Christianity, you believe in Christ, you immediately lose your job, your property, your family, your freedom, and your life, and you still believe. That's the cost. I know if I believe, I will die, but I still believe. That's persecution, right? The first 300 years of the church. Until Constantine in the 4th century turned Christianity into state religion, then Christianity can come out of the catacombs and got respectability. But respectability came with it, compromise. Because he said, if you want to be in high office in my empire, you must first be a Christian, because he conquered using the cross. So everybody become Christian overnight. Otherwise, I cannot be a governor, a treasurer, and be with Constantine and rule his empire. So now everybody become a Christian, and how are you going to tell whether he is or he is not? But in the days of the persecution, you believe, you die. And they still believe. And they die. Fox's Book of Martyrs, you can read that. But today, you believe, no big deal. Don't believe, no big deal, right? So how do you know you really have belief? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's a sinful heart, you know. So maybe we deceive ourselves. We take you at your word. You come, you get baptized, we take you at your word. But time will tell whether you're truly born again or not. Right? Time will tell. I can't read your heart. I do not know your heart. But there are clear evidence of a person who is truly born again, and most of them are found in the New Testament. When we had two series at the Sunset Gospel Hour on evidence of salvation, I tried to find passages in the Old Testament. I could hardly find any. But I found so many, enough for 26 messages. Sunset Gospel Hour, one quarter, 13 messages. So two quarters, 26 messages, and the bulk of it are all New Testament scripture. That means the Lord knows that Gentile Christians during the church witness need a lot of help in finding out whether they truly bear the evidence of someone who is born again or not. Whereas the Old Testament, they don't need to. Why? Because everything in the land of promise is ordained by God. And therefore, if I offer my sin offering, burnt offering, peace offering, thank offering, knowing that an animal is not me, so therefore, when I offer this by faith, knowing that one day in the future, there will be the Messiah who will come and be my sin offering, burnt offering, I already demonstrate faith and evidence of salvation. So that's why the Old Testament, you don't have any clear passage on the evidence, whereas the New Testament, there are copious amount to help Gentiles like us, because our culture rooted in idolatry. Everything that we believe in, idolatrous. So we need a lot of help to make sure that we are truly born again. And so when you look for passages on evidence of one who is truly born again, Jesus Christ says, right, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that continue to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That means if you really continuously live your life obeying the Bible, that's evidence number one. Jesus said so, right? So he helped us. And the Bible is not a book like the Old Testament where the Israelites, from baby until they grow up, the Bible has already commonly been read to them. I have never read the Bible before until I was an adult. When my sister bought me a Good News Bible, I read it out of guilt. Because when she shared the gospel, I scolded her and she didn't scold me back. She gave me a birthday present. I opened it. It was a Bible. So I read it out of guilt. To me, it was just a book of men. I don't know much, anything about Christianity. So after I was born again, I went to church for the first time. The first time I saw a book in my whole life that has no page number. A hymnal. Hymnal has no page number. You know that, right? I never knew that, you know. I never seen this kind of book. All the books that I've experienced, right? My whole life in primary school, secondary school, university, all books have page number, right? But hymnal has no page number. I didn't know that. So everything was brand new. So I need a lot of help to know whether I'm really born again. So the evidence are all there. Love to commune with God. Love to commune with God's people. Study God's word. You can understand it and obey it. All these are evidence that the Lord wants us to know to help us to have the assurance of salvation. Okay? Thank you very much.